Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Ask not.
The circus is on the air.
Mr. President,
sometimes you feel like
that a... means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah! We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And that's you and me, he
God
just said.
Help us.
That's us. It's all good. How are you, buddy?
I'm well.
1452, listen to this. First book was published, so it was the Bible, of course. The first book, major book printed in the West using movable type, it marked the start of the Gutenberg Revolution and the age of the printed book in the West. But that was 1452. You don't think printing went back that far?
That was the end of what we call the Middle Ages. Actually, you know, kind of a change into the Renaissance era, 1452. Sure. What happened 40 years later? Columbus comes to
that's right.
What is now 1492.
That's right.
Here's a little tidbit for
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
Between the time the Gutenberg printing press was invented and a guy named Otto Mergenthaler came to Chicago who invented the linotype machine, that was the first change in
oh my God.
The printing
yeah,
press,
right.
in the technology of printing presses, and it happened here in Chicago.
And what year was that around?
1800s.
Okay, so almost yeah, 400 years
before, Lord. You know, you had a change in the technology and the way in which things were printed.
And think about the speed now in the last century.
Ha!
I mean,
instantaneous.
Instantaneous, yeah. Very cool. 1855, Isaac Singer patented his sewing machine. The first functional sewing machine was invented by Barthelemy Thimenier in 1830. He was almost killed by enraged French tailors because they felt he threatened their livelihood.
The tailors take it as seriously as the French.
They're going to beat the crap out of this guy because he invited the sewing machine. That's terrible.
My grandmother had a classic Singer sewing
mine
machine.
Too.
With
mine
the
too.
Foot.
Yeah.
Paddle,
oh yeah.
A big desk type of thing where she could, and she made clothing.
She, you know? My grandmother used it through the early 90s. That was her sewing
machine.
Is that
right?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Wow. 1890, Congress created the Weather Bureau.
And was there anybody named Skilling involved with that?
I don't believe so. Only in later years. 1916, John D. Rockefeller became the first billionaire in history. He was the founder, of course, of...
it's no longer around. It's now BP, but Standard Oil.
Standard Oil Company,
Mm-hmm.
As a child, he supposedly announced that his two great ambitions in life were to earn $100,000 and to live to 100 years. And I think he lived to, like, 98.
He was in his 90s,
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and I have to say, it was either his son or his grandson was the philanthropist in the family.
The one that really
which is why we have Rockefeller Chapel at the University of Chicago and other things really around the country that came about as a result of those billions, those inherited.
Took a generation
billions.
Or two.
Oh, yeah.
To get that
oh,
out
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
1921, the first World Series was broadcast on radio. The Yanks beat the Giants 3-0, and the stations that carried it were three. KDK in Pittsburgh, WBZ in Springfield, and WJZ in Newark.
There's your first network.
That was the first network. That's exactly right. 1922, the former Chicago Stanleys played their first NFL game as the Chicago Bears because they were the Staleys. In 1922, they won 6-0. And where did they play?
Where did they play?
Wrigley Field.
At Wrigley.
From 1922 to 1967. Which I could not find. I was looking online. I was trying to find some pictures of, you know, the marquee used to say during the fall, Wrigley Field, home of the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
They changed it.
Yeah.
But I can't. Yeah. I cannot find it anywhere.
It's weird to look at aerial photos of the football layout in Wrigley where you see, you know, the imprint of the diamond.
Yeah.
And then you see, you know, the 100 yards of the football field.
And there was some crossover there, obviously, too, between baseball season and football season. But the other thing, too, is that the seats were a little bit, they were configured different. So you could actually put a full football field in there. When Northwestern played there in the last 10 years, they had to keep going in the other direction. Once the other team had the ball, they had to switch sides and hit the other direction because the field wasn't big enough anymore. Yeah. 1938, 1945, the Cubs clinched the NL pennant both those years. 1942... Little Golden Books began publishing. The little, the Pokey Little Puppy was the first.
I had those.
Yeah.
And I had Little Golden Records, too.
My wife collects them, and we've got hundreds of them.
Do you really?
In my son's room. And, you know, it's a smorgasbord. When he goes to bed at night, he goes to his little, he's got like three shelves of them. He goes and pulls out maybe two or three of them to read before
for
bedtime.
For his bedtime
you
story.
Betcha.
That's nice.
Which is cool.
That's
not enough people read to their kids when they go to bed. I think that's pretty critical.
I think it's essential.
Meet the Press premiered on radio in 1945. Its host was Martha Rountree.
A woman.
Yeah. Pioneer broadcast
pioneer
journalist.
Broadcast yeah. woman, yeah.
2 years later, the first presidential address was televised by the White House. Am I missing anything? No, I'm not yet. Good, okay. Let's see, 1950, the telephone answering machine was created by, was created by Bell Laboratories.
This is Shirley from the bank. The answers are no, no, and yes. No, we won't loan you money. No, we won't accept any cosigners. And yes, your account's overdrawn. I get off at 4:30.
I love that. You know, when you think about an answer machine, what other shows do you think of? It was the Rocker Files,
right? That started the show.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. 1953. I couldn't remember what that clip was.
Answering machines, I don't remember them until, you know, you had the in common
more
use
commercially,
in the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s. Yeah. At least the 80s. Yeah, exactly. A lot of premieres this week because of the TV fall season. Make Room for Daddy was 53. Alfred Hitchcock was 1955. Leave It to Beaver was 1957. But one premiered in 1955, and that was the Mickey Mouse Club with a very famous theme. Now, do you remember watching this as a kid?
In reruns.
Reruns for you and reruns
and
for me.
On Channel 9. It was either before or after Garfield Goose.
That's so funny. Like, for me, it was in the early 70s on Channel 9.
Yeah, for you, yeah. Yeah, they were on in the 60s. It was an after-school thing, like Garfield Goose, and then there was another thing that Ray Rayner did called Rocket to Adventure.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right.
But, I remember watching these in reruns.
They were classic. They were fun to watch.
Yeah.
Especially the cartoons, but it was all black and white, of course.
It was all totally black and white.
All black and white. Let's see, 1956, White Sox Jim Darrington, 16 years old, youngest to start a game, made his debut with the team. 16 years
16?
Old. Can you imagine that, being that 16-year-old kid, you get to walk on that field at Comiskey Park? How cool is that?
Did he finish the season?
He did finish the season.
He did finish the season?
Yeah.
Okay.
1960, Howdy Doody. Now think about this. It's last show where Clarabelle finally says something.
Yeah.
Because he was a clown that didn't talk.
You can talk? Oh, wait, golly, I don't believe it. You can talk. Well, Clarabelle, this is your last chance. Now, Clarabelle, if you can talk, prove it. Let's hear you say something.
Drum roll.
Drum roll.
Yeah, right.
Goodbye, kids.
Aww.
That's it. The last show.
Aww.
Last episode. 1961, one of my favorite shows still to this day, Dave, of all time, The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Sure.
Premiered on CBS TV. It had a theme song. There were no lyrics to it. But Maury Amsterdam
Right.
Wrote lyrics to it.
Right.
And I asked Dick Van Dyke when I interviewed him a couple years ago to sing those lyrics. Let's take a listen.
Now, Maury, and I know this because I've seen you perform with the Fantastics, your a cappella group, which we'll talk about in a little bit. He wrote lyrics to the show that were never published.
Never published. It's so sad. So we're spreading the word now. We sing them.
I know you do. You got. I'm going to ask you. Do you got a little bit of that for us?
Okay. So you think that you've got trouble? Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell all Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying? Start trying, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down, so smile on that frown or defrost, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed.
Isn't that great?
I can hear Maury Amsterdam singing those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's him.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
That's just him.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant writer.
You know, there was a show. The reason the shows like Dick Van Dyke and really, for that matter, Andy Griffith and the others, one of the reasons why they continue to hold up is because all of the cast members that played leading and supporting roles just absolutely fit.
They did.
Those roles.
And the writing was really, you know, timeless.
Had Carl Reiner and other people. You had geniuses writing.
Yeah, both were Danny Thomas productions, I think.
Danny Thomas
produced those, right? Yeah.
And from what I understand also, there was a lot of input from cast members that went into the script.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, in other words, it wasn't just here's your script and stick by it.
Sure,
Let's try this. Let's do that.
I like that.
You know? Yeah.
I like that. Probably not as prevalent today.
No, they don't have time for it.
No time.
And there's too much money involved.
1962, Johnny Carson hosts his first Tonight Show.
I want my mommy.
That's exactly right. Let's listen to a little bit of that. By the way, there's only audio that exists, no video.
I think it was Vice President Nixon. Johnny, and I didn't have trouble getting the suit. I was out buying some cheese. Could have used me all this time. I wish you'd tell these people that I was on in the place 15 minutes.
Oh, he's talking to Groucho Marx. Yeah, that's right.
Groucho, I want to thank you very much. I came all the way from California to see you and to wish you luck. I'm very glad to have you there, man, and I've admired you so many years that I feel very warm that you would take the time to come in and introduce me on the first night. The admiration is mutual, Johnny. Granay.
Wow, the admiration. I mean, Johnny wasn't that big. He hosted Who Do You Trust?
Right. He was not.
And
huge.
Some random talk shows. I mean, it was not a big deal, but it was a big deal that he was taking over the show. There was a lot of great buzz about this young guy after Jack
Coming
Parr
in
and everything
after
else.
Jack Parr just kind of abruptly walked out.
He left.
Now, was Ed McMahon part of the original broadcast?
Yes, he was. Okay. Because he was his announcer on Who Do You Trust, and he brought him right over.
Oh, brought him over
first,
from
there. Yeah, okay. First episode. Okay. Other shows that premiered, Judy Garland Show, My Favorite Marcia McMillan and Wife, the first broadcast of Cheers. 1979 was when Pope John Paul began his visit of the U.S. Didn't make it to Chicago just yet, but this week he got to the U.S. 1990, the Chicago White Sox beat Seattle 2-1 in the last game at Comiskey Park. 1995, O.J. Simpson found not guilty in the murder of Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. Let's listen to that news brief.
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles. In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
You hear the crying in the background. Those are their families.
That
obviously.
was the
shock.
That was the sister of Ron Goldman.
Yeah, yeah.
And her and his father.
Yeah, I think that was still shocking to this day. And I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. That when he got arrested for trying to get back some of his signed autographed memorabilia, that he went to jail for quite some time. 2005, Because they're always ignored, and even though I'm a Cubs fan, I'm going to say the Chicago White Sox clinched their first division title since 2000, become the 10th team in history of baseball to be in first place on every day of the season.
And
yes,
won the World Series.
And won the World Series, of course. Of course. Let's take a listen to that clinch.
Line drive, caught it first, and that's the ball game. They are celebrating on the south side. Back in the postseason for the first time since 2000, the Chicago White Sox are the 2005 American League Central Division champion.